In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is. So you have your children. Are your children perfectly obedient? They obey perfectly, right? There was once a foreigner that came to the country and said, "How interesting it is in the United States how the parents obey the children." How the parents obey the children. Interesting. Is that the way it should be? Hello? I know we live in a society where obedience is a really tough virtue. But I really believe parents, you have to really work on getting your children to obey. My parents had two rules and we didn't observe them perfectly, but they're really insisting upon two rules. One, no lying. Lying comes from the devil. Jesus says that the devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And they really insist that you have to obey. So when I have catechism messages for little children, I'll ask them this question. Do you ever hear God speak? "Oh, Father, no, I never heard God speak." "Oh, you didn't?" "Oh, you didn't. I think you did. Did you ever hear this voice? Time to get up and go to school." That's the voice of God. "Did you ever hear this voice? Clean up your room." That's the voice of God. You ever hear the voice? "Put your toys in the right place." That's the voice of God. You ever hear the voice? "Turn off the TV, it's time to eat." That's the voice of God. You ever hear the voice? "Turn off your tablet right now." That's the voice of God. You ever hear the voice? "Go into your room now and study for your math test." That's the voice of God. You ever hear the voice? "Come on now, it's time to eat." That's the voice of God. You ever hear the voice? "Sit down now and we're going to bless the meal." That's the voice of God. You ever hear the voice? "Come on now, we're going to pray before you go to bed." That's the voice of God. You ever hear, "Ah, it's work day, you have to clean the bathroom." That's the voice of God. I think children, they love to hear this talk, don't they? I mean, they just love. We have a little girl here. She's just so happy. So happy, no? So God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through the magisterium. God speaks through the papacy. God speaks through our conscience. And God speaks through legitimate authority. God speaks through your parents. And it's called the fourth commandment. Now, I'd like to suggest an activity for parents as well as even for grandparents. And I think that if this is carried out, this could be a real way to order the disordered in your family life. Have a family meeting once a month. Might be a good idea to do it on Sunday. So go to Mass, go out to brunch, and maybe go out in an outdoor picnic setting. Okay, sit down with Mom and Dad and the three kids, if you got three kids. And start by praying. Say the Hail Mary. Say a prayer to your guardian angel. Say a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And then what the parents should do is this. To compliment their children and all the good things they've done during the course of the month. So start out by compliments. A lot of compliments. Compliments, encouragement, praise, thanksgiving. Start off on a positive note. Then maybe ask your children, parents, are you listening? Ask your children, what do you think that we have to correct as parents? Uh-oh. So this is an exercise in humility. What do you think we have to improve to correct ourselves as parents? Okay, next is you want to highlight for your children rules of obedience. Now intervene and say, look, over this past month, okay, you have disobeyed in this way, in this way, in this way, in this way, and in this way. You disobeyed in these different ways. Then look at your children in the eyes and say, ask them questions, is that true or not? Is that true? And your child says yes. Okay. Then next is this. Do you think that was right or wrong? Wrong. Do you think that God was pleased with that? Well, I don't think so. What's the commandment from God that maybe you broke? What commandment? The fourth commandment. What does the fourth commandment oblige us to do? Honor your father and your mother. Therefore, when your father and your mother speak, that's God speaking to you. That's the voice of God. I already gave you 10 examples. So, starting right now, okay, we're going to start, okay, month of February, right around the corner. Right now, keep up the good work at school. Keep up the good work in praying your prayers. But I notice your weak point is you're always fighting with your little brother or your older sister. You're always fighting. Okay, we're going to really work on that. And you're disobeying me and Dad because we've told you not to fight and you're not obeying us. Take it one more step. Okay, next time, we're gonna write out a contract here. Write it out. Get in the computer. Write it out. Now, if you disobey in that area, do you think God's happy with that? No. So if you disobey in that area, we're going to be meting out a punishment to you. That punishment might be okay. You're not going to be able to play with your tablet for 3 days. And very calmly, as your daughter, do you think that's fair? Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's honest? Do you think that's true? Do you think that's sincere? Do you think that's pleasing to God? And hopefully if your children are honest, they're going to say, Mom, yep, Dad, I think that's fair. You going to try to do that? Yes. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you, because I like baseball analogies, 3 strikes you're out. So if you're disobeying or you're fighting with your younger sibling 3 times, okay, the tablet, bye-bye for 3 days. Do you hear me? You following me? Now, if parents were doing, maybe it seems like I'm a captain in an army the way I'm talking, no? I think you did this. Your family life is going to improve 100% within the next year. And I think those who are married here, I think your husband would agree with that. But you start off on a very positive note where you're praying, you're complimenting, you're encouraging, you're thanking, you're asking also to be corrected yourselves, right? Humility. Then you intervene and you honestly ask your child, have you failed in those areas? Yes, Mom. Do you think that was pleasing to God? I don't think so. Do you think you can maybe work on getting along better with your older sister? I think God wants that. And all of this is done in the light of our love for God. I will try to be a better sister. I'll try to be a better brother because I love God. I love God. And you might even say this, if it's really difficult for you to obey, if it's difficult for you to obey, then look up at the cross. Do you think that was easy for Jesus? Was that easy? No way. He actually asked God the Father, Father, if it be possible, remove this chalice from me. Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus 3 times asked the Father with great humility. Filial confidence. He asked the Father to remove that chalice because it was a chalice of bitter suffering. So on the virtue of obedience, especially in the modern world, I'm a stickler on that. Very, very rarely do I ever hear parents tell me that their children obey them. That's wrong. That's wrong. I invite all of you to read Sirach chapter 3, which we read on the Feast of the Holy Family. Sirach chapter 3. And I'll give you a short literary summary of that masterpiece. And read that with your children. Sirach chapter 3 is probably the best chapter in the Bible on the authority that God has given of parents over their children. Sirach chapter 3, which God is saying, children that obey their parents will be blessed. Children that do not obey their parents will be cursed. You don't want to be cursed. I hope not. You don't want a curse to fall on you. You want to be blessed. Those children obey their parents will have a long life on the land of the living. That's what you're going to be reading. I had a couple family come into me with two rebellious teenage daughters. And I pulled the Bible out and I told the two girls to read that. I said, you understand that? Yeah, Father, wow. Oh, boy. Because it's so clear. And there's no greater authority in the world than the Bible. Because the Bible is the Word of God. So we live in a world where disobedience reigns. And disobedience leads to confusion and anarchy. So hopefully, the talk that I've given you this evening will be not only theological and biblical, but hopefully it's going to be very practical. And I think that the younger couples here, even the grandparents, maybe accept the challenge of Father Broom today to call that family meeting. Maybe the first Sunday of the month, you go to Mass, go out to brunch and enjoy each other's presence, and then for a good hour, pray and go through the different steps. And I would even write down, you know, if you do not carry this out, these are the consequences, and have your daughter sign it. So that when she actually disobeys it, here's your signature, and the consequences is 3 days without the tablet. That's your signature. I think it would work. And when there's obedience in the family, there's humility. Where there's humility, there's peace. Where there's peace, there is love. Amen? Was this talk helpful? Okay, so I've explained the vow for myself, the biblical background, but also the practical application for you people. So let's pray for the grace that we understand obedience ourselves. We're able to instill this in our young people. Amen? So Mary left. We're going to be having the 8-day retreat. Is going to be from July 24th to August 1st. We already have the invitation, those who want to make that. I'm glad that Mary gave this. Next Friday, okay, the Perseverance class, we invite you, will be the consecration mass of the group that's doing the consecration to Mary with me. Any of you doing the consecration? That's about half of you, okay? So those who are not doing the consecration, come to the Mass. The Mass will be here at 7:30. It's going to be a very beautiful Mass. We're going to be consecrating a big group of people to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Okay? So God bless you, and let's say Hail Mary. We'll be able to put into practice this very difficult, challenging, but important doctrine that we've explained today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you, and have a great night. I think when my mama said, you know, there's something bothering you. No, Mom, something's bothering you. What happened? So there she's sitting there, said Dad, and he said, you know, I know I did something wrong. What'd you do? Well, I walked on the highway. And then Mom and Dad looked at me very quietly and said, do you know what the consequences of that action is? Yes, I do. But the fact that I told you, isn't that good enough to negate the consequences? You see how honest I could have told a fib, I could have lied, I could have just kind of, like a good broom, swept it underneath the rug. And very calmly, my mom looked at my dad looked at my mom, and my dad, know what three means? Three spankings, in Spanish, nalgadas. And my dad, who in 1954 is a graduate from Michigan State, okay? He went to APO, you know what that is? He went to one of the fraternities, one of those fraternities that we have in the other parts of the country. And he had a fraternity paddle. He actually had two of them. Made of very strong wood. And having seven sons, it could be used pretty well. So he said, I will see you upstairs in 10 minutes. Go up to your room. So I went up to my room. It was the longest 10 minutes in my life. I was imagining my father coming at me. Imagine how I'd be able to kind of dodge it. Or maybe put a, you know, I'm a writer now, like a bestseller, you know, in my pants. Or maybe be able to bargain with my dad, not three, but maybe one and a half, you know? And he came up and he spanked me hard three times. And then for about 24 hours, it's kind of hard to sit down, you know? And that's the last time. I think the last time I disobeyed. Now, let me tell you, psychologically, if my father did not spank me, I would have felt cheated. I would have felt cheated. Because they instilled in us a really keen sense of justice, in which he said, if you ever walk on that, you're going to get spanked. So I was actually waiting for the spanking. And even though it hurt, I felt, in justice, I deserve that. So, actions have consequences. Okay, now let's move from these kind of down-to-earth anecdotes to this very noble group of individuals that I'm contemplating with my eyes. Do you have to obey? Do you? Okay, let's go through the different areas of obedience for lay people. Let me give you a whole list. Because I'm not going to be talking about the vow for you because you don't have a vow. But the virtue, yes. Okay, the first is this. This is somewhat generic, and you have to work through this with your spiritual director, is that you have to obey, the Word of God. You have to obey the Word of God. Second is, you have to obey. You have to obey the magisterium. Do you know what that word is? Magisterium is the teaching office of the church. You have to obey the teaching office of the church. Let me tell you a very prevalent philosophy that is diametrically opposed to this concept. Cardinal Ratzinger spoke about this, and it's called the dictatorship of moral relativism. Scott Hahn calls it cafeteria Catholicism, which you pick and choose what you like. You can't do it. You can't do that. The president of my Spanish youth group, Grupo de San Jose, about 2 weeks ago came up to me really enthusiastic. He said, "Father, I would really love it if you could spend time this year in Gerardo's in that group going through an encyclical that was promulgated 50 years ago in July. And it's the most controversial, possibly the most controversial encyclical in the history of the church. It was promulgated by Pope Paul VI, July, in his Humanae Vitae. You've heard of that. We gave that as part of the fifth week of the exercises. Now, what is this? This is the magisterium. The magisterium teaches this, that every conjugal act between husband and wife has to be open to the possibility of life. We call that procreation. Therefore, any artificial means by which this conception is blocked using artificial means is intrinsically disordered. You hear that? How many Catholics obey that? I'm not going to say 0% because that would be wrong. Well, I would say maybe 5% on a good week. So 95% of Catholics, my stats, they might be wrong, but the huge majority of Catholics have decided to take that encyclical and just turn it into a frisbee. Just jettison it, just throw it right off the ship into the water. Now let's go to obedience. One of the principal reasons why this encyclical was not accepted and obeyed is because you had a lot of priests and even bishops that did not accept this. The Winnipeg document, remember I talked about that? The Winnipeg document in which you had the Canadian bishops that wrote a bishop of defiance, which they didn't want to abide by this. There's an article that me and Mary read about 3 or 4 years ago. It was a cardinal working in Rome for many years. And he was a young priest in Baltimore. And he said that once this document was promulgated, the dean, which would be the head of the group of priests there in Baltimore, he obliged all of the priests in that deanery to sign a letter of defiance. Forget the name of the... Oh, Stafford, okay. Cardinal Stafford was his name. Stafford. Now he's probably close to 90 years old, working in Rome. But Cardinal Stafford. So, 50 years ago, he was a priest of about 35 years old in Baltimore, a young priest. And the head of the deanery, what used to be, I think it was a Marine, kind of a tough guy that pushed people around. He tried to force Father Stafford into signing it. Stafford wouldn't obey, but he was the only one. Charles Kern, who taught in the Catholic University, said, we're not obliged to believe this or follow it because it's not teaching ex cathedra. It's not a dogma of faith. Consequently, you can follow your conscience. You ever hear that one? Follow your conscience. Who on earth has a well-formed conscience? Very few. So, the point I'm trying to make is this. The priests, the bishops, the leaders of the church, they have to accept the magisterium presided over by the Holy Father. They're very important. Otherwise, it's a moral free-for-all which everyone follows his own feelings and his own interpretation of what he or she thinks to be the truth. So as lay people, you have to obey the Word of God, obey the papacy, obey the magisterium. Then you have to obey, brace yourself now. You have to obey your confessor. Uh-oh. Didn't like that one, huh? Because God speaks through the instrumentality of the ordained ministers. Then you have to obey. People have spiritual directors. Be submissive and obedient to your spiritual directors. Then last but not least, you have to obey your conscience. However, you have to form your conscience well. You can't just say, I'm following my conscience, but it's incumbent upon all of us to work at forming a healthy conscience. Follow your conscience, but your conscience has to be well formed. And then, last but not least, you have to try to follow. You have to try to follow and be docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Try to be docile and obedient to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. So those are the different levels of obedience for lay people. Okay, let's develop this obedience a little bit more. How many parents here? Grandparents? Okay, let me ask you.